Good morning on Sunday, the 31st of January 2021. Our readings for today are from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 13, and the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. But during the beginning of our service, we would have had a psalm read, and the psalm for today is Psalm 111. And I want to look at this psalm. Now, what I want to say to start off with is that the Psalms are in the Old Testament. And in this Psalm, it talks about a covenant. And the covenant is the covenant that God had with the Jews. And it's an incomplete covenant. Yes, any covenant that God has is true and is perfect. But it's incomplete in the sense that this is before Jesus. And whenever we read a psalm, we read it to gain encouragement and to gain knowledge and understanding. And to be honest, in this particular psalm, there is so much for us to learn, which is why I want to look at it. But I want you to look at it in terms of who we are in Christ, knowing that Jesus fulfilled all of the Old Testament. Because as a Jew and as a rabbi, as he was to the disciples, he would have, and as the Son of God and Son of Man, he would have kept all of the commandments. He would have, as it says, he fulfilled the law. And so in Christ, we can read this psalm in the position of who we are in him. So the psalm starts, Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Praise the Lord. We are encouraged to praise the Lord. The singing and worship and psalms and hymns are good, not just because it sounds good, but it builds us up. Builds us up in two ways, because it builds us up because it keeps our focus on the Lord. But it also then builds us up because through the singing or through the reading of the words of a psalm, we gain information and knowledge, and so therefore we know who God is. Now what it says is, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. And I've talked about this before, because being in Christ, being mindful of who he is in us and who we are in him, we can be in that position where we're always thinking of him. And I believe this is what the psalmist is talking about, in my whole heart. It's not a part-time thing. That yes, as the psalmist goes about his daily work, his heart is still to the Lord. Now we identify the psalms, or most of the psalms, or many perhaps of the psalms, as being written by King David. And King David was known as a man after God's own heart. And even though, as I've said, that it's in the Old Testament, David was not always filled with the Holy Spirit, as we are, because when we are in Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. And it tells us in the New Testament that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, wherein he dwells. And so the Holy Spirit is in the Christian 24/7 and for eternity. But King David didn't have the Holy Spirit in him always. And yet he was a man after God's own heart. So praise the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In other words, I'll always keep praising him and be mindful of him. And then the next line says, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. And I believe that what that's saying is the assembly of the upright is in the synagogue. Or if you like, in our case, in the church. And in the congregation is everybody else. Now I say it like that because we so often associate congregation with church. But because he says the assembly of the upright and in the congregation as being two different groups of people, I believe that what he is saying is that whether you're in church or out of church, You will praise the Lord with your whole heart. And it is possible to do that. Then let me read on. Verse 2. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. Now that's a great word for us, because we should be and are those people who study, who read the Bible, who have pleasure in the words of the Lord. Now it says the works of the Lord are great, so the things that he has done, and perhaps the psalmist is looking back at the things that God has done. And I would encourage you that there are probably testimonies that you have in your own life. And all that means is that there are things that have happened in your life where you can remember and see the hand or the working of God in your life. And so that you can testify along with the psalmist, the works of the Lord are great. That yes, I have seen God work in my life. I have seen him do great things. And so those great things perhaps you've studied by all who have pleasure in them, is what it's saying. Because when something wonderful happens or you hear an answer to prayer, then that is an encouragement. I was just talking to someone yesterday who has started a new job, and they were visiting, they're a carer, and they're visiting with a man who's in his 90s. And this man said to him how he had been praying that God would send him someone who was a Christian. And I think it could have been on the second visit, might have been the first visit, but I think it was on the second visit. This 90-year-old man said to this person, he says, "Excuse me, do you mind me asking you, are you a Christian?" And this friend of mine said, "Yes, I am." And hearing that story really encouraged me, which is why I want to share it as an example of what I'm talking about. Because the 90-year-old man had an answer to prayer, because he'd asked God for someone to be visiting him who would be a Christian, a carer to come along and look after him who was a Christian. And God sent that person. And the person too, that's the friend of mine, it was an encouragement and a blessing to me for them. So verse 2 of the psalm says, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. And so, yes, we're talking about works, I suppose, rather than the Bible, not that it excludes the Bible, but talking about real examples. So I want to encourage you to think on things that God has said to you, or think on things that perhaps you know that God has said or done with other people, and go back and remember those things. Go back and visit them in your memory, in your mind, and give God thanks for what he did in your life. So reading on in the psalm, verse 3, his work is honourable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. And that is true. God's righteousness, the ability to be able to stand before him, endures forever. And that is a truth that we know. Because we know that on the cross there was an exchange. Jesus took our sins and he gave us his righteousness. And again, Paul tells us in the New Testament that we are, as Christians, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 4, he has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Again, that's saying what verse 2 is. His wonderful works are to be remembered. So go back and visit those things. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. That 90-year-old man knows that. Verse 5, he has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. And again, this is talking about the Old Testament covenant. But we have a greater covenant, and that covenant is in Jesus. And that still is true. He has given food to those who fear him. The food may be actual physical food that we eat. But the Bible is also referred to as the Word of God. It's also referred to as being food. Food for our spirit and for our soul. And he will ever be mindful of his covenant. The covenant that we have, that Jesus Christ bore for us. Because the covenant that God made with Abraham, he took the particular elements, the animals, and he split them. And he went through the elements with fire. Well, in a very real way, that's what happened with Jesus. Because he hung on the cross, he was split. His body was split open wide on his back. And he was delivered up for us. The greater covenant. The perfect who died for the imperfect. So verse 5, he has given us food. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. And again, as I say, you know, I'm reading this from the Old Testament, but I keep finding myself skipping into the New Testament because obviously that is where we are. We are in Acts of the Apostles and onwards because we are under a new covenant. But God has declared to his people the power of his works. Ephesians 1:19 tells us the power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is inside the believer. So God's power of what he did, of what we can read of in the Old Testament and throughout the Bible, that same power is in us. It's ours to use according to his will. And in giving them the heritage of the nations. Verse 7, the works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. God can be relied on. God is just and true. God will not let us down. He is for us and not against us. Verse 8, they stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. God's word is faithful and true and we can rely on it. Verse 9, he has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Now, again, this is talking about God redeeming his people in the Old Testament. Because he sent Moses into Egypt to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. They were redeemed from the land. But we know a greater redemption, and that redemption is through Jesus Christ our Lord, because he has redeemed us from our sin. And so we read this in the light of the new covenant. He has redeemed us from our sin, and he has commanded his covenant forever. He will not forget us. He is faithful and true. He is a God who can be relied on. The Bible tells us. And so we can have great encouragement in reading this psalm and seeing the truth that it is for us today. So reading verse 9 again, and I'd left a line out. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Our God is holy, but his name is holy. And we know that Jesus' name is holy. God our Father, God the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is holy. And because we are in him and he is in us, we too are holy. Now, we're not holy perhaps in some of the things that we do, but I'm not talking about our lives in the flesh. I'm talking about our lives in the Spirit. Because in Christ and Christ in us, we are holy. That then, I suppose, compels us or should compel us to live holy as best we can in our flesh. And the Bible teaches us that it is wise for us to live holy. Because when we don't live a holy life, when we choose to live out of our flesh, rather than choose to live out of our spirit, It gives opportunity to the enemy to come along and attack us. And so much of the trouble, perhaps, of what we get into is our own fault. But there's an answer to it. It's because when we identify ourselves with Christ, we realize that He is holy and we are holy in Him. And so when we live out of our spirit, out of the place of who He is in us, we are able to walk with Him. And that takes us back to the beginning of the psalm, where it says, "Praise the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart." And so when we're mindful of Him, whenever we choose to make that decision to walk with Him and to walk in Him, we will be holy. Because we are made holy and awesome is His name. And we're made holy and awesome by His name and by His presence, by His very Spirit within us. And then verse 10, which in a way I possibly should have started with, but in hindsight I'm glad I didn't. But verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever." That line, that first line of verse 10, is what I was referring to. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a phrase that people may well be familiar with. But I'm glad I left it to verse 10 rather than using it as an introduction. Because as you build through that psalm, you gain an understanding of who God is in us and what He has done. Of how we go back and we can celebrate the goodness of God and how He has worked in our lives. But to end up with this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The term fear does not mean that we're afraid. It does not mean fearful and afraid of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord means having a reverence and a due awe of God, of viewing Him in the right position, recognizing the Lord for who He is. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Being wise and have an understanding, and that's what it says, a good understanding of all those who do His commandments. And again, that there doesn't mean the Ten Commandments. It just means doing what the Lord would have you to do, listening to His voice. And you can only do what the Lord would have you to do if you are worshipping Him with your whole heart, if you're praising Him with your whole heart, if you're mindful of Him all the time. Because as you are mindful of Him and you walk in the Spirit and you live out of your Spirit, out of holiness, you are showing and exhibiting a fear of the Lord. You are actually growing in wisdom because you're choosing to walk as the Lord would have you to walk, rather than being puffed up in your own knowledge and understanding and walking after the flesh, doing things your way. Let us determine not to do things our way, but to do things God's way, to be mindful of Him, to put our whole heart and our whole being focused on Him. And I've taught about this before. You can do that day by day in everything that you do. You can be mindful and thinking of Him. And I've done this, and I'll finish it in a sense with a negative, because people can worry all the time. And sometimes, unfortunately, people are perhaps more able to worry. They just seem to be full of worry and concern. Well, that's a choice. And what I'm saying is that the capacity that you have to worry is the same capacity that you have to be able to focus your whole heart on God. It's a choice, a decision that we all make. And so rather than to make you feel bad about worrying, I want to encourage you that with the way that you worry, change it. And just, it's like flipping a switch in your head or in your heart. Make a decision and choose, no, I'm going to think on God. Because when I think on God, I start to smile. Because I know that he's good and I know that he loves me. And I'm going to choose to think on him because you know what? I'd far rather be filled up with joy and with love rather than with the worry and the concern and the fear and the pain that comes when I worry. Because it just churns my guts up. I would far rather be almost light and full of life and happy and smiling. Because that's what happens when I focus on the Lord. And so verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so as I gain in my understanding of who he is, I am getting wise, I'm growing in wisdom. As I'm growing in wisdom, it's because I have a right position of the Lord. I fear him. I have an awe of him. I realize who he is and who he wants to be in my life. Day by day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. And that can become possible whenever I praise him with my whole heart. Whether I'm in church or out of church. When I remember the works of the Lord and I remember the things that he has done in my life. When I realize that he's gracious and full of compassion. When I realize that he has a covenant with me. And the covenant is totally his covenant of what he has done for me through Jesus Christ upon the cross. And when I talk about these things, I realize that he has redeemed me from sin. That he has separated me from sin as far as the east is from the west. And he is for me and he's not against me. And he is holy and awesome is his name. And I bear the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, for I am a Christian. And that fills me with love and with joy. So be encouraged today. You know, it's very simple to do what I just did there in the last couple of minutes. Yes, I'm preaching. Yes, I'm teaching. But I'm just bringing these words to my remembrance. Or if you like, God's bringing these words to my remembrance to share them with me and to share them with you. And obviously, yes, I'm preaching, so I'm sharing them with you. But as I share them with you, I'm sharing them with myself. And I'm being built up and encouraged in myself. So I encourage you, encourage yourself with the words that you speak and let the words that you speak be full of the love and the joy of God. Let your words be full of the goodness that he has done in your life. Go back and visit those events where God came through and blessed you and build yourself up in your most holy faith for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.